You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, when I was first starting in ministry, serving as one of four associate pastors, if you'd believe that, the Sundays where we got to preach were few. And generally, they were only those days that the senior pastor wanted to be away. Or they were things like the Sunday after Christmas, or the Sunday after Easter, or Labor Day, to name a few. I probably have more Labor Day sermons in my files than any other day of the church year. I do have to confess, vacations are sometimes strategic in order to not be preaching on certain Sundays, although I never seem to shake loose of Labor Day. Now, I heard there were some rumblings when I made one of our pastors, Kathy Cannon, preach last week, the week after the presidential election. Well, contrary to what some of you might think, Kathy is still speaking to me. When I planned my vacation, friends, I did not have any inkling that we would be looking at the situation in which we now find ourselves. You've all heard me preach long enough to know that I'm at a place where, like you, I have grave concern about the direction our nation may be taking on this coming Thanksgiving week, one which unfortunately does not necessarily resemble loving neighbor and self in any shape or form. There is genuine, warranted fear among people in our nation, wondering if this has now created a tipping point from which there is no return. We certainly should be able to relate to the text today, to Jeremiah's plight over what would be Judah's fate and what he could possibly have to say to the people. Jeremiah had the distinction, for good or for bad, of being the last of a long line of prophets for the ancient kingdom of Judah. He was a prophet to at least three of the kings, all of whom were considered, all of them, unfaithful to God, if not downright bad. It was during his lifetime that Jerusalem was overrun, that the temple was destroyed, and the people came under the domination of another empire. While there were still people who remained intact in Jerusalem, others were exiled, and there was no longer self-autonomy for the people of Judah. Judah's fate became the same as that of the sister kingdom of Israel that had fallen centuries before. We know there were many of the same issues at work, according to the prophet. People were ignoring the covenant which had been established long before. Everywhere the prophet looked, there was unfaithfulness. There was the worship of other gods. The kingdom of Judah, the remnant of God's chosen people, well, it's a story we've heard before, again and again, articulated most of all by the prophets. The kingdom failed. The kingdom failed because the people had lost their compass. They had lost sight of the covenant. They knew what God desired for them, how they were to be in relationship with each other, but it was ignored. It was no longer about being a faithful people who supported each other. Instead, their story was now one of despot monarchs, power, greed, and everyone looking out for their own interests. Our text this morning, when we take a look at it, is somewhat disarming. You see, we have Jeremiah receiving the word of God regarding the kingdom of Judah. It was considered so important that it was written down and it was brought into the temple to be read. Well, after this scroll was read, we know, as the story tells us, that King Jehoiakim sent Jehudi, a member of his court, to go and retrieve this scroll. And once again, the scroll was now being read to the king. And in there we have this picture of every time a part of it's being written, the king takes out his penknife, rips a piece of the scroll off, and throws it into the fire to burn. It seems pretty clear what the king's attitude was with regard to Jeremiah and his words for the people of Judah. There was clearly a complete disregard for God, a disregard for the covenant, a disregard for anything of the past. When we look at this and we read the scripture, it certainly doesn't appear to be a very hopeful situation. And as history has taught, it wasn't a good situation. Judah collapsed. But once again, God did not give up on the people. God remained faithful even if the people were not faithful. We also hear in a text from Jeremiah that tells of God wanting everything to again be written down on scrolls. But this time there were also going to be the addition of these wonderful words of hope that talked about a new covenant that would be established with the people. And in that covenant, all sins and all iniquity would be forgiven. God would forgive. Judah would still reap what they had sown, but it would not be the end. There would be potential for a future. It would be a different future, but it would still be one of hope. You see, this new covenant was not like that covenant with Abram and Sarah. It was not about land. It was not about descendants. The new covenant was about relationships. Relationship between God and the people of God. And the relationships of the people of God with one another. This is what was being established in this new covenant. The promise that God would always, always be with us. Well, our church calendar, for those of us that choose to follow that church calendar, shows today as the last day of the church year. I'm glad the year's over early. I don't know about you. It is intended in our tradition to be a day which focuses on future hope. Future hope when it is Christ's teaching that prevails. A future hope that we might fully understand and fully live out what it means to love God and to love neighbor. Traditionally, some call it Christ the King Sunday. Others refer to it as the reign of Christ. But regardless of what name we attach to it, and it's really not important, the last Sunday of the church year, the culmination of our worship together for the year, focuses us on possibility, on potential, and what the world might be, what the world could be, when there is mutual respect, where each person's dignity is valued, a place and a time when economic systems and politics and governments no longer divide but work toward the common human good. What we sometimes forget, friends, is that there is no human system that will usher this in. Instead, it's God's grace and God's Spirit that ushers this in. Attaining this hope requires people of faith to be willing to understand that we are asked to be counterculture. Counterculture working in the midst of our culture. And if there was ever a year when this is writ large, it is in our land as we look at the potential for massive political change, as many will gather this week to be thankful for the blessings of life. But friends, for many in our land, it will be a difficult holiday. Difficult, frankly, because it seems like there is not a lot to be thankful for or hopeful about. It will be hard to be thankful if you are a person who has lived most of their life here, participated in the economic system, paid taxes, and wonder if you will be allowed to stay. It will be hard to be thankful people pondering our fragile civil rights and wondering if they will be attacked and dismantled. It will be hard to be thankful when the quest for power and the often accompanying greed is blatantly in front of us. It will be hard to be thankful when many realize we have seen an underbelly now that we did not want to believe existed. It is hard to be thankful when hateful words and speech seem now to be perfectly okay, and hurling insults is now an acceptable pastime. And if this isn't hard enough, it's hard for those who will be dealing with grief or loss or change as we approach this holiday. Yes, it's easy to turn negative. It's really easy for us to have a collective monumental pity party. But is that what God would want for or expect of us? Perhaps this is really now the time to consider and remember that faithfulness to God and God's hope for the world is not an easy task. Perhaps this is a time when the church, as we call it, needs to shed away the accumulated baggage that has more to do with empire building than it does doing the work of Jesus. You see, friends, in the midst of everything, we have a lot for which we can be thankful. We can be thankful for God's redeeming and transforming love that is always there. We have a lot to be thankful for when there are faith communities that will continue to strive for justice, for bringing people together as to oppose to splitting the human family apart. We have a lot to be thankful for in those important relationships which nurture us, which hold us up, which support us in the hard times and give us our grounding. We have a lot to be thankful for in God's grace, which is ever present and is so often that balm which keeps us going ahead even when we feel it is not possible. The hope that has kept uncountable children of God going in the midst of great adversity is here with us, is always with us. Perhaps you remember the story of Martin Rinkert, a musician and an archdeacon who lived in the city of Eilenburg in Germany, and he bridged the 16th and 17th centuries. He lived during the 30 Years' War as well as the Great Plague, which devastated so much of Europe. At its worst, Rinkert recounts that he was conducting 50 funerals per day during the plague. We also know that he dedicated most of his personal resources to helping the many refugees that were part of this scenario. Scenario we know even to this day. The needs were great. And it certainly seemed to be an impossible situation, a situation in which I believe most of us would probably have given up hope. But you see, Rinkert knew where he found his source of strength. And he penned words which are familiar to us. Now thank we all our God. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Penning those words when he was doing 50 funerals a day. Friends, we're called to be thankful, hopeful people, just as Jeremiah was thankful and hopeful. In fact, part of Jeremiah's story, which is not contained in our passages today, is that even in the midst of the disaster that was went ahead, he went out and he bought a field in order to plant a vineyard, knowing that there would be a future, a remarkable act of hope. Friends, if we learn nothing else from the scripture and these seasons we go through in the church each and every year, it is that God is usually not found in the institutions and empires of our creation. God is found in relationships, in each other, in selfless acts, in every action that causes us to look beyond ourselves. That's where we find God. God is faithful. God continues to redeem. God will never abandon us. As long as we continue to love God, and as long as we are diligent in continuing to love our neighbors as ourselves, we will come closer. We will come closer to that realm of God that is based in love and in hope. That's the path we're on, friends. That's the path that we are on together. A blessed Thanksgiving to you, to your family, and to your friends as we gather this week, remembering important relationships and giving thanks to God. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.